Y'all think it's going to rain tonight? Maybe? Teasing us. So thank you all for making the trip over here. I know it's like, oh my goodness, like we just went to Mass like just 2 days ago. Why are we back? Why do we have these holy days of obligation? It's such a bad word. I'm obliged, I'm obligated, I'm required, or else I'm going to hell. Well, no, not quite. But I would like to consider it like an obligation of love, right? It's kind of like, in other words, it's the minimal. Like even Paul's, we can relate to Paul, it's kind of tough sometimes. But the idea is, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, then if there are 52 days in the year, sorry, there are 365 days in the year, right? We were still 52. 365 days in the year, can you give him at least 52 Sundays and a handful of others? So it's like, it's the minimal. At least this, if you didn't do this, then you got to be honest with yourself, you kind of sinned against love and you need to go to confession. So we have that offered to us. It's actually interesting, we're reading from the book of Leviticus recently, and Moses listed all the Jewish like holy days, like on this day you should have a sacred assembly, on this day you have a sacred assembly, like a church, a gathering. That's what they did, that's what we're about. Our Lord is still doing the same school of, this is how I want you to love me. This is one of the ways that matters a lot to me, that you do this for me on these certain days of the year. So we still do it today, and we celebrate, especially we honor the mother of our Lord. You think our Lord honored his mother? Like, yeah, he honored his mother. So we do the same thing. We honor his mother. Even she said it, and all that humility of Mary's heart, she said, from this day, all generations will do what you're doing and call me blessed. So we do. We call her blessed. And we honor today the moment when she entered, not just, like, when we die, our soul goes to heaven and our body goes 6 feet under, maybe. Well, not New Orleans, but you get somewhere. And we have to wait, and we believe in the resurrection of the body one day later, but for her, it was soul and body at once. Her body and soul was assumed into heaven. And she conquers sin, and she conquers all the consequences of sin, the worst of which was death itself. So death was never going to touch her. So her body never saw corruption. Either she died, or maybe we talk about this dormition of Mary, she fell asleep, and then immediately she was assumed into heaven. So we celebrate that today. And she enters into the kingdom of God, and she sees that kingdom for all its glory, for all its worth. No veils, no blindness, no, I don't see heaven, is it even real? Like for her, it's like, oh my gosh, it was all real the whole time. The kingdom my son inaugurated was there. I couldn't see it. I see it now. It's amazing. And it was so worth waiting for, to experience it in its fullness. Think about it. This was the kingdom. When's the first time Mary heard about this kingdom of heaven that she now embraced to the full? When the angel spoke to her, right? He said, his kingdom, meaning Jesus' kingdom, your son's kingdom, will have no end. Did you hear that? And then Jesus was born, and she's feeding him and taking care of him, and he's sleeping a lot, and she's changing, messing diapers, and that's the kingdom. Gosh, that's exciting. And he's with her in Nazareth, you know, for maybe 3 years, 5 years, 7-year-old Jesus gets lost in the temple. She's got to live for him for 3 days. 25 years. He's the carpenter's son, trying to earn a little bit of a living for his mom. And then he's gone. And that's the kingdom. Wasn't much. And she hears this kingdom from John the Baptist, the precursor out there saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And she's like, I'm believing. I'm keeping the faith. I know it's real. The angel didn't lie. And then her son preaches about it, and they talk of a miracle here. She sees the Cana miracle, the first time she sees the kingdom of heaven kind of touching earth in a very tangible way. The kingdom of God, it's alcohol. And she was all about it. No, just kidding. But it was there. Like, she celebrated, and heaven allows us that little taste of the celebrations of heaven. But then there's the rejection of the people. And then she hears of other miracles, and the idea gets to her, the word gets to her about Peter whispers, maybe tells her the secret, hey, we saw him transfigured on the mountain. Like heaven actually touched earth. And it was all clear that it was God in our midst, the Son of God, the way you told us, Mother. Like we saw it with our own eyes. We saw it. The light shining through his humanity, the veil of the humanity was gone, and we saw the divinity, and the kingdom was real. And then it was gone again. And he's crucified. And she held the body of her dead son in her arms. What kingdom? Where is it? This doesn't feel like it. I believe, but I'm really struggling. That weeds and wheat, Lord, the weeds are pretty real, and the wheat, I don't know where it went. And she's waiting for a day, day and a half, 2 days, praying, weeping, praying, hoping, not giving up hope. And on the third day, he rises from the tomb, and all the joy is back to her. It was all real. It was all true. It was all worth hoping in. And 40 days, he's with her, and with the apostles and the followers. And she sees the miracles, and then he ascends into heaven, and he's gone again. And that's the kingdom. It's still there, but where? And she watches the early Christians. She hears that James is beheaded for his faith. And then the other ones, Bartholomew, Thomas, Peter in Rome, Paul in Rome, they're all dying for their faith. She's with John, it seems like, in Ephesus, where he's in exile for his faith. And that's the kingdom, the one Jesus told them about. And it wasn't just wheat, because there was real suffering going on. Until this day, she sees it for all it's worth. She sees the fullness. And again, the conviction, it was all worthwhile. It was all real. Hard to see that echo of Jesus' words to Thomas, blessed are you. Blessed are those who have never seen and still believe. And that's our challenge as Christians. Do you believe in the kingdom that she now experiences in its full glory? Is it real for me and for you? Is it something that influences how we make decisions? What things we hold on tightly to in this world, and what things we let go of, because they're just not worth holding on to if they're going to keep me out of the kingdom. Let them go. Let go of the sins, let go of the temptations, let go of the distractions, let go of too many material things that get my soul drunk with material things and not focused on the things above. It's not worth it, because the kingdom is real, and you don't want to miss it. I kind of picture maybe when John was, when he wrote this line, I saw a woman clothed with the sun standing on the moon with a crown of stars. Maybe he actually saw a moment, a glimpse of her assumption, but it was very real. So we pray for a deepening in our own hope in that kingdom that already begun in our own hearts at our baptism. That kingdom started as a mustard seed for each one of us at your baptism. It's hard to see, isn't it, sometimes? When you're in your foul mood and yelling at your spouse, it doesn't look like it's real. But you go to confession, it's renewed, it's restored, it's growing, it's being nourished towards the fullness, and the harvest is also real. We pray in the Our Father, which we pray so often, thy kingdom come. I want it to come. I'm longing for it, Lord. Let your kingdom come in its fullness, because it's really hard right now. I long for the kingdom to come on earth, even as it's in heaven. I want to see it. Let your kingdom come. May the words of the Blessed Mother, her Magnificat, that beautiful hymn that she almost like composed on the spot, it seems, that we would say, the Almighty has done great things for me. I see what he's done for me. I see what he's prepared for me. I even get a taste of it every now and then. The Almighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. We pray for that longing and trusting in the promises of the Son to be fulfilled in us, that the kingdom is there and worth waiting for, that we would have no fear of things like temptation, suffering, and even death. Why would you fear death? Because death has no more sting. And the Blessed Mother assures us of that. There's a moment that I think C.S. Lewis says, you know, the pain of whatever suffering you go through before death, you go on, you take out the tooth, and it's gone, and you're free, and you're in heaven, and it's over. It's over. All the suffering is over. And you're there. We pray for that longing in our hearts to be deepened and to really influence how we align our values, how we discern things in this life, so that everything points us like a rocket right to that kingdom, nothing getting in the way. Let us be free of the things that keep us away. And every time we pray to our Father, especially today, may we pray with renewed hope, Lord, your kingdom come. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.